Before we start, Guy, I've always been interested in the difference between an assistant governor and a deputy governor. Can you explain the difference and who has more seniority?
Well, the deputy does. There's only one of them, so he's a unique individual. But there are five or six of us.
Okay, so there is a pecking order there.
There is a pecking order, yes.
Okay. I think the most important question for everyone in this room would be for you to tell us what is the international situation for funding and securitisation. Last year when you were here, you thought things were getting better. You were right. What's the current prognosis?
Well, in terms of the securitisation market, there's been a number of securitisations done this year. Not all of them. As some of you may be aware, the government has a scheme where it supports securitisation, and some of them, the issues we've seen this year have been supported by the government, but a lot of it has reflected private sector interest. So that market seems to be coming back to some extent. It's at the moment, the sort of flow of securitisation we're seeing relative to the growth in home lending is about the same as it was three or four years ago. Growth in home lending is smaller than it was 3 or 4 years ago, but the flow of securitisation is about the same share now. So that the other thing about where securitisation is at the price at which the people who are doing the securitisations are doing them is about the same as what the larger banks issue their 4 or 5 year debt, which means that someone who relies on securitisation is now competitive again with the major banks. So it's becoming a competitive source of funds again. So it provides some more growth opportunity for the regional banks and for some of the non-bank lenders. Certainly a much better situation than it was 12 months ago.
And what about the situation for mortgage-backed securities?
So that's what I'm talking about. In terms of securitisation for mortgage-backed securities, the market is considerably better than it was 12 months ago. It's now becoming basically a competitive source of funds again.
Okay. Does it mean that because there's more securitisation that we will see more competition and therefore lower interest rates from the rivals in the market?
I'm not sure that there will necessarily be lower home lending rates. I think partly as home lending rates have tended to rise, it's also made it a bit more competitive for some of the smaller players again as well. And as I said, their source of funding is now about as is close to being competitive with the larger banks' source of funding. So, to some extent, I think it's not necessarily going to put downward pressure on mortgage rates. It's going to reduce the upward pressure on mortgage rates coming from funding.
Now, we always hear in the newspapers that cash rates are heading towards... Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not allowed to ask Guy what will happen to interest rates. If I asked that question, he'd say no comment. Right, Guy?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so what will happen to interest rates anyway?
No, we did actually say that we're actually a little more forthcoming than that. So they look like they're going to rise a bit further towards, as the governor has put it, more normal levels.
Yeah, but Glenn and I are on first term basis. But he hasn't actually said normal equals 5%, has he?
No.
No. Newspaper people have said that.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, they have. What's really interesting is that recently, Craig James said to me that he thought that the Reserve Bank is more interested in what is the actual interest rates for home loans rather than what the cash rate is. Can you explain whether that's right? You know, when we talk about a normal setting for interest rates, is it a normal cash rate or is it a normal rate for home loan interest rate?
Well, ultimately, what people actually borrow at is the mortgage rate, or if you're a business, the business lending rate, not at the cash rate. The cash rate is only a sort of some almost esoteric rate which a few banks and other institutions pay in an overnight market. So it's not what most people in the economy actually borrow at. So what actually matters is the lending rate, and so that's ultimately what is more important. So, you know, if you think about home lending rates, they've gone up relative to the cash rate, which means that they're closer to what their average has been over the past decade than, say, the cash rate is. Hmm. They're about 50, 75, somewhere between 50 and 75 points below that.
Yeah. So it is, well, I'm not going to actually lead the witness in a sense, but we're better off looking at what the normal cash rate is. Is it around, on average, about 7.3%?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing which you have to take into account is that, there's, as you're all aware, basically there's the indicator rate, which is what the banks advertise, but then there's the actual rate that people pay, and nearly everyone gets a discount these days. So you have to take into account what's happening with the size of the discount. But, yeah, the number you said it sounds about right to me.
Yeah, that's my thing, Craig.
Take into account the discount, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we also, in the minutes yesterday, after reading the minutes, a number of commentators have said that the Reserve Bank is now more interested in house prices as a concern, and because house prices have been doing really well, that means that, you know, there's more pressure on interest rates. Is the Reserve Bank more concerned about house prices than other targets that they've had in the past?
No, I mean, our target is still inflation, so consumer price inflation.
Yeah.
That's still what we're, that's actually what we're accountable for. You know, do we pay attention to house prices? Yes, we do. So that's why we mention them. But they're only just one of a number of indicators that we look at. The rapid growth in house prices, to some extent, reflects the fact that the economy is doing pretty well. And the other thing to take account of, I suppose, is that the growth in home lending we're seeing is at about 7-8% at the moment. Is not, you know, is an okay pace.
Mm. It's not a worrying pace at this stage.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. And, you know, okay. We've actually seen home loan approvals come off a bit in the last couple of months.
Yeah, and that's exactly what everyone in this room would have probably felt as well, Guy.
Yeah.
What are you seeing that the people in this room would love to know? Things that may be not on the radar screen for many of the people here, but you think are important to this industry?
I mean, one thing I suppose you're all aware of is that, which bears a bit on what I was talking about at the beginning in terms of securitisation, is, you know, most of the loans you guys have been doing over the last year or so, a lot of them have gone to the major banks, the major four banks. My guess is that's probably topped out. I mean, that's easy to say because it's 90% or so anyhow, so it's not a hard call to say that's probably as high as it's going to get. But it looks like that's topped out. You've actually seen a bit of indication of that over the last month or two. As securitisation comes back, it does make the regional banks and the non-banks more competitive. So it seems to me that's happening. So you're likely to see a shift there. The other thing, which I'm sure you're all noticed, has been the tightening in lending conditions, that with the maximum LVR now basically being 90, for first-home borrowers. So the banks have all tightened it up from some number, 95 or north of that, down to 90 over the last 6 months. And probably part of it, I would say, a more general tightening in standards, not more just making sure that documentation is more complete than necessarily, you know, than say compared to 3 or 4 years ago. So there's just a more general tightening up of conditions.
Well, Guy, I think some people said to me they thought it was a reflection of the fact that the banks are actually running out of money to lend. Is that an observation you guys are making, or is that an exaggeration, apocryphal?
No, I don't think. I mean, the banks are able to access funding. That's not a binding constraint. It's more an issue of them being comfortable with the loans they're making, I think.
Okay. And what about arrears? Do you guys check that level of arrears, and what's the trend there?
I mean, the arrears story is a good story at the moment. It's been fairly stable for the last 6 months or so. It's at a low level. To put it in the way that the industry tends to report it, it's at 60 basis points, which is just not a particularly high level at all. In part that's, and if you compare that to anywhere else in the world, it's quite a remarkable outcome. In the US, that's sort of, it's 10 percentage points. So, you know, we're less than 1% of loans are in arrears. And a lot of that's obviously to do with the fact the Australian economy's done a lot better, and the unemployment rate here, which is the main thing which ultimately drives arrears, is a lot lower than anywhere else in the world.
Mm. Well, one last question before I go to the other panel members. It's been said that, or been suggested that, if the normal cash rate was, say, 5%, and maybe you'd take issue with that, but there's an assumption that around 5% is normal, that may well have been determined at a time when the level of household debt was lower. And so those people who look at this say, well, maybe a lower cash rate would have the same bang for the buck because we are more locked into debt, therefore your monetary policy will be more sensitive. Is this something that you guys have discussed, and do you have an opinion on that?
So is monetary policy more sensitive? Yes, it is.
Yes.
So if the household sector is carrying more debt, then yeah, monetary policy has, a given change in monetary policy has a larger effect. I don't think that actually affects the sort of normal level of rates, which is more determined by the overall sort of strength of the economy. But does it mean that a given change in monetary policy has more effects? Yes, it does. And that's clearly, you know, we've said that for a long time now. And it's clearly something that we take into account.
Well, I guess my second last question is, has the lag on monetary policy, in your opinion, shrunk? Like when I taught economics at universities, we used to say the lag is anywhere between 6 and 12 months. But do you think we are far more sensitive to an interest rate change than, say, 10 years ago?
That's somewhat a hard one to answer. I mean, when I was taught economics, maybe even before you, it was 18 months to 2 years. So I reckon it's probably a bit shorter than that. But I think it partly also varies. I mean, I think it varies with the circumstances. I mean, the lag is always uncertain and variable. So sometimes it's shorter and sometimes it's longer. I mean, to some extent, last year I think it was probably shorter.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to tell because interest rates were reduced so fast so quickly. But, you know, they clearly had an effect. So I think it much depends on the circumstances as anything.
Do you think you're also, in a sense, helped by the fact that the media has made interest rates such a big issue that you can't turn on a news service, you can't open a newspaper, but some expert is predicting that interest rates are going to go to 5% by the end of the year, and that, in a sense, will scare off a lot of our potential customers?
Yeah, although I think the media has always... mortgage rates have always been popular with the media for a long time. I'm not sure it's got any worse.
It has.
Does people's expectations of where mortgage rates are going to go matter? Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's definitely the case. And, you know, to some extent, we provide some indication of that when we talk about, you know, interest rates probably likely to go higher at some point. To the extent that that's amplified by media coverage, then yeah, that probably does enhance the transmission. But sometimes analysts and the media get it wrong as to where things are going. But in terms of indicating a likely direction, then yeah, that probably does help at the margin.
Okay, fantastic. Guy, would it be a concern for the Reserve Bank if a foreign bank introduced more funding to the market? Would that be a worry to the Reserve Bank?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've had a number of foreign banks come in, you know, since the 1980s when they were first allowed, more foreign banking licences were issued. And no, it's another participant in the market, so no, it's not a concern at all.
Okay. Guy, you know, talking about Europe, sovereign debt, is it a concern for the Reserve Bank? And if so, how high a concern is it?
I suppose it's interesting to talk about Greece when you're in Melbourne, but...
that's right.
Don't
mention pigs in Melbourne.
No, I'm not sure if it's still the largest second largest Greek city in the world, but at the moment, so, you know, it's something we obviously spend, in my area in particular, spends a reasonable amount of time looking at. The issue at the moment seems reasonably confined to Europe. That doesn't mean that, you know, it won't blow up, but that's not the most likely, certainly far from the most likely outcome. Doesn't mean it's impossible either, but at this stage, it's seen, you know, the issue is mostly confined just within Europe. A European issue.
So many of us kind of hope that inside the Reserve Bank there are all the little divisions of experts, and we kind of presume there is a sovereign debt expert, and when the question mark is raised, everyone runs down to his office or her office and says, well, should we be worried? Is that the case?
That's not far from the truth, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. That sounds great. All right.